Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One thing is 1,000% for sure tonight. Not guessing, not even remotely thinking. Hydrated Blake is back. Last night was a struggle, man. I'm not going to lie to you. But before we get rolling in all of our superlatives, day two of fall camp, off day tomorrow, we'll be back out there at Saturday. We'll be live again on Saturday, breaking down day three. I want to tell a lot of you, thank you. A lot of you, man. Look, we, you know, during football season, we have about 2,500 to 3,000 people on a given night that are watching us live. We have about 25 to 35, sometimes 40,000 people that watch us every single night. And last night, I'm sure a lot of you could tell that your boy was struggling. And in the struggle, I am just very humbled by a lot of you reaching out to us. A lot of you reaching out and asking, you know, like, hey, how you doing? A lot of you told me to get in a liquid IV. My wife had some, was able to get in a liquid IV today, feel a lot better. So I do believe that tonight is going to be a lot better and a lot more interesting as day two of fall camp was underway tonight. Zach Nagy of Go247 is going to be joining us. Zach and I are going to be breaking down and talking about the last 2 days. Things that we saw, moves being made. We're already in day two, and are there some moves already being made? We will discuss all of that. How did Sam Levitt look? We'll break down the offense. We'll break down the defense. What are the biggest takeaways from today? Here's what I'll tell you to start off the day. The thing that I would start off in day two of fall camp is there is something that I feel like we talked about it last night. We talked about it today. The thing that I think through 2 days that I'm interested to see if it continues is this level of intensity on both sides of the football going to be maintained? You know, you bring in coaches like Lane Kiffin, you bring in coaches like Kevin Smith, you bring in coaches like Ed Orgeron, Kevin Peoples. You name the coaches that you are bringing in. And in those additions, you know those level of personalities. Some might not understand the level of intensity that LSU head coach Lane Kiffin loves to bring on a given day. But look, I do think that one thing is categorically true. Lane keeps saying that it's just different from an LSU perspective. I think he's got that right. What I think he needs to add into it, the environment that it seems that he is breeding and what they are asking from each individual player on every snap, on every rep, on every situation. If you take plays off, you ain't going to play. They have already started a culture inside this program that if you're not given everything that you have every single day, every single moment, every single snap, every single second, you ain't gonna play. And so I am loving the intensity of what 2 days has brought from you. I know that everybody and their mama is starting to post the videos. The reason we went live at 8:15 instead of 8 o'clock was because LSU requested that nothing be posted. People don't go live, no videos, no nothing until 8:15. So as they continue to do these night practices, we will still be going live. It seems like we'll be going live on 8:15 on those nights when they do those. So we got a lot that we need to get into here tonight. Do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups if you're on Facebook by using that YouTube link. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're watching on YouTube, stop, collaborate, and listen. Do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit that notification bell. Do us a favor. Send this video to five of your LSU friends. I know that all of you have five friends that love LSU. I only ask for one favor from you each and every night. Please tell all of your friends about us. Just tell them to come. Tell them to hit that subscribe button. Tell them to join the community that we're building. It's free to subscribe. All you got to do is hit it. You see all of our content that we are publishing and pushing. We put a lot of effort into it. So do us a favor and tell all your friends that we are here. Where are you watching from tonight? Are you in the 225, the 985, the 504, the 337, the 318, 31 great? Are you outside the state representing from somewhere inside the state? Let us know somewhere inside the chat. Now, here's what I'll tell you, because I see a lot of people like Luke, Mason, Curtis, and 12 Go all became members on the YouTube channel. We did have some content out today. I will talk a little bit about it. We did some content today on the members on the YouTube channel. I highly suggest that you do become a member. You can go and listen to it. Kind of a hot early take from what we've seen. And guys, it was a little bit sourced. So I'm not going to lie to you. There was some sourcing in there on things that happened in day two that we kind of told you, but be honest with you. Look, there's going to be some shakeups here. There are going to be some shakeups at positions. Day two did confirm those things. With that being said, we will have a full day two breakdown for you. We'll talk about the first 2 days because, look, this week is, it's not over because we still have Saturday. But we do have an early break in this. Tomorrow we'll be off and back Saturday. So we'll kind of combine the 2 days in the things that we saw. I saw this. Hydrate Blake on YouTube. Hurry up. We ready? We ready? Yes, your boy was a little dehydrated yesterday. I get it. And y'all just taking screenshots of your boy drinking a Gatorade and using it as your avatar. I completely understand it. I think Hydrate Blake, who he told me he's from Port Barry, Louisiana. He said it inside the chat. We're glad that you're here with us. JV is in the 318 Houghton, Louisiana. Great place, Houghton, Louisiana. Good to have you in here with us here tonight. Richard, as always, is in Magnolia, Arkansas. Chris Lomax says, glad you're feeling better. Oh, man. Y'all have no idea. Last night was insane. He's in Covington, Tennessee. Good to have you in here with us. Big Train Kiffin is in the frog capital of the world, Rain, Louisiana. Why do I know that? Probably because Big Train Kiffin is always in here letting us know. Last note podcast says 903 East Texas. Good to have you in here with us as well. RG is in Northeast Oklahoma. Excuse me. Well, we just got Tiger fans from all over the country. Good to have you in here with us. Official ID is in the 985. The great 985. Good to have you in here with us as well. All right. Zach Nagy is going to be joining us. We are going to go on probably, Zach's, you know, newly married. His wife's probably like, where's my husband? You know, he's coming on with us. Okay. We're probably going to be here for about 45 minutes to an hour, 4 or 5 hours. Zach's behind backstage. Zach, we're going to be here for 7 hours. So tell your wife we're going to be here for a long time. Just kidding. So when we come back from the break, Zach Nagy from Go247 is going to be joining us. He and I are going to combine. We're going to talk about the first 2 days of fall camp. So do us a favor. Hit the like and share. There's 912 of you already in here. If 912 of you do not hit the like button right now, what in the Rudy Poo is going on? Come on, man. Come on. All right. Let's pay some bills around this thing before we get rolling. Let's talk about our friends over at Kalshi. Before the season starts, actually the season kind of started tonight with Carson Beck going off. Everyone is making predictions. Guys, who's going to win the SEC? Who's going to make the playoffs in college football? Who's going to be lifting the trophy at the end of it all? On Kalshi, you're trading against peers in a live market. There is no house. And as the probability changes, you can buy in and out of your position. Trade the draft pick, the game, and more on Kalshi. You can download the Kalshi app by using the promo code AYS to get up to $10 when you trade $10. That's Kalshi, K-A-L-S-H-I. trade on anything. You must be 18 years or older to trade. Restrictions and eligibility may apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may be suitable or not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Price values, available markets may differ where you are. For more information, go over to kalshi.com/regulatory for more. Let me get to a very quick break. We're breaking down the first 2 days of fall camp next. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you a new. Well, Tyler's the man, he's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dreams or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red Stick.
We're back.
All right. Two-thirds of the Go 24-7 team is here. Blake Ruffino, Zach Nagy. Good evening. Good, sir. How are you?
Doing good, man. Trying to get up all these posts from what I got to do here, but solid. Not too much. Not too much.
I'm sorry that I'm making you do this. Tell your lovely wife that I will do something special for you for taking so much of your time, just like LSU football does. But, Zach, we do got a lot that we do need to get into here today. Day two of fall practice has come and gone. I guess you being out there today, I will just go ahead and just ask and leave this open-ended. You were out there. What did you see today? What are the your biggest thoughts coming out of day two out of camp?
Yeah, I think first thing, we might have to get this echo fixed because there's a little bit of an echo going on here.
There is a little bit of an echo.
Don't want these guys to get a little upset.
You can go down to, you see where your microphone is, click up. It should be able to tell you which, what microphone you're using. It sounds like the, Nope.
We don't want people to get mad, bro.
No, we don't. A lot of echo.
How's that?
I don't hear an echo on my end. Why don't you?
I know. Look at all these. Pop out and come back in.
All right. Pop out and come back in. All right. Zach Nagy will be joining us. We'll try to get this echo fixed. Day two of camp was here. Couple of things that I think Zach is going to tell you. He did post on Go 24/7 today. Look, we had a conversation in reference to this morning about defensive tackle. Richard Anderson getting a lot of buzz around lately. Richard Anderson getting a lot of reps with the ones today. What I would just say about that is, guys, there's going to be a conversation that you and I are probably going to have at defensive tackle, and that's going to be a big conversation. All right, let's see if Zach's back with us. Go ahead, talk.
How we doing?
I mean, I don't really hear an echo. Do you guys hear an echo in the chat? Maybe this is a little bit better.
It's better now. I could hear it on my end, but it's way better now.
Okay. Good deal. Zach Nagy. All right. So let's start that whole thing back over here. Two-thirds of the Go 24-7 team is here. Zach, you were out there. You've been out there the last 2 days. I kind of already threw some of the Richard Anderson stuff in there. But what are some of your takeaways from day two of fall camp?
Yeah, man. I don't want to sit here and be a sunshine pumper by any means. I want to keep it real whenever we need to when we hop on here. But Sam Leavitt looked sharp. And this is one where yesterday there were mixed reviews, right? Some people, you and me, were saying he looked pretty good. Some people were saying he didn't look that great. And look, it's early in camp, right? And he missed a ton of time during the offseason with that foot injury. So getting that timing back was always going to be extremely important. Today, that timing was there. And Blake, I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that's really caught my attention over days one and two, I just posted it on Twitter. It's that connection with Winnie Watkins. Mm-hmm. I think the two really look like they've developed some rapport. Watkins was also with Leavitt this past weekend in Dallas, getting that private workout in with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback coach. So there's rapport there. And that was a big time takeaway for me today, just watching the two handle business on that front. Another thing for me is the running back rotation. Dylan Jones continues to really make a statement there. He's big, he's thick, pause, and looks great, man. Like, I'm really impressed with what Dylan Jones is doing for this team right now. And Harlan Berry's following him up. So for us two, is it going to be where Dylan Jones takes a bulk of those reps, or are they going to do a 1-2 punch? Those are the two things that I'm really excited about. But today was really solid on Ponderosa.
Look, I will put – I don't mean this to be hyperbolic. I don't mean this to be cocky or conceited or flat out to be an asshole. I will put up my reputation of what I believe I saw with Sam Leavitt in day one and where he continues to go. I do think Saturday is ultimately going to start being the bigger deal when those pads start coming on and some real bullets do start flying. With that being said, what did he not do? Like, what – that was my thing, because I saw some pushback on the whole Sam Leavitt thing. So what did he not do? I don't think Lane is good at coach speak. Like, I got to be completely honest with you. I think he's horrible at coach speak. So, you know, when he's kind of got a little tail to him. Every time he kind of touches his cheek, it's just kind of like he doesn't really want to answer the question. But in reference to Sam Leavitt, it's not the short and intermediate passes, Zach, that I think you bringing that up, me talking about that last night, it's not those against air or one-on-ones that we're talking about. It's that he's hitting dudes in stride, in the chest, like you saw from the throw from Whitney Watkins for a touchdown in a one-on-one situation. Now, everybody wants to overreact to the interception by DJ Pickett on a ball that, got to be completely honest with you, Jace Brown can't quit. He can't quit running that route. So I have seen a quarterback, and I was going to wait to talk about Sam Leavitt with you, but let's go ahead and start it off here. It's the deep over the middle. It's the deep sideline boundary throws outside the numbers where stuff and throws start being hit in the chest. Look, here's where I am. We're day two into this, so I'm not trying to overreact. We've seen pretty good freaking quarterback play around here.
Yeah.
Heisman Trophy level quarterback play around here. I'm not saying it's that, because I don't think the connections that he has right now with those guys are like that. But let me give you an example. 3 years ago, or because technically it's 3 years ago, when Jane Daniels was out there slinging the pill 55 yards and you have him hitting Malik Nabers in the chest on air, it's a different kind of beast. It's a different kind of situation. And Zach, here is where I am. I am at a place where I believe that he's a little bit ahead of schedule from where I thought he would even be, even with all the work that everybody talks about he putting in. So with that
I'm right there with you, by the way.
Well, go ahead. I mean, that's just where I am. I mean, like, look, it's not the intermediate throws. It's that he's hitting dudes wide ass open in stride. Now, Zach, just to add one more thing before I let you go here. The second team guys that he was throwing to, there were problems. He ain't been throwing to them. There's going to be problems. But some of the stuff, even to Tre'Davious Green, has been pretty freaking good. I don't know where this narrative's coming from.
you took the words out of my mouth. So, like, I'm just going to be reiterating what you just said. A lot of these missed passes and these incompletions and missed time throws, a lot of them are with these second team guys. So you took a lot of my perspective right there. For me, it's the connections with Jackson Harris. It's the connections with Winnie Watkins, Eugene Wilson, Jace Brown. That's your core four right now, Blake. Those are the four guys at this stage that have risen to the top in this wide receiver room. Who's going to be the fifth? Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss love to rotate with four to five guys. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a 1,000-yard receiver this year, but there's going to be a lot of guys with 300, 400, 500, 600 yards in the receiving room this year. So for me, man, who's going to be that fifth guy to rise to the top? Will it be Phillip Wright? Will it be somebody else? That's what I'm waiting to see. But to get back to Sam Leavitt, the timing is there with these guys. They were in Dallas this last weekend working with Patrick Mahomes' private quarterback coach, that being Sam Leavitt, working with the likes of Brown, Wilson, et cetera. So that rapport is there. But I'm not going to sit here and critique Sam Leavitt for missing throws and being mistimed with the backups right now, because you just got to get right with these first teamers. And that's what we started to see today on day two, specifically Winnie Watkins. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I think that connection is going to be fun this year.
Well, expound on that. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I like Winnie Watkins. I mean, look, it's pretty plain and simple for me. He's so versatile in that, in the slot role right now. You can get it to him in the backfield and kind of give him those little layups and just let him turn it upfield. I think you'll see a lot of that with Eugene Wilson this year too. I'm not going to say that those two guys are going to be, you know, it's going to be hard for Winnie Watkins to eat because Eugene Wilson's taking, you know, food off his plate. I'm not saying anything of that nature. But what I am saying is that both of those guys will play a similar role. I just think at this stage right now, the familiarity in the system when it comes to Winnie Watkins is allowing him to be a really early fall camp winner. Look, we've gotten 30 minutes of access. It's not that much. It's a small sample size. But for me, across days one and two, that connection with Sam Leavitt and Winnie Watkins has really, really been noteworthy for me myself.
You're not getting team. You're not getting run game. The meat and potatoes of what you want to get, we're not getting. And I'm completely okay with that. I do agree with you on Winnie Watkins. I do wonder at some point, did they start putting Eugene Wilson on the boundary? You know, and I think that there is an early camp battle right now in your conversation. We're going to get to this in probably a little bit. It's going to be Eugene Wilson and Jace Brown for me. I wonder how that's going to pan out and work out. I guess we'll see. In reference to Sam Leavitt, Zach, here's been my thought on him too. We haven't seen him be mobile. We haven't need to see him be mobile yet. So I do wonder, you know, if we're going to get any time in seeing him having to be able to. I don't know if we will or we won't. With that being said, you can just tell, like, even on some of the little rollouts that they do in some of the early warmups, whether it is some of the stuff that he's doing on seven-step drops and moving up in the pocket, I don't have any issues with his mobility. You know, there's times, Zach, that I, you know, this is, you know, a sidebar. People didn't watch him in 2015, in my opinion. Like, they didn't watch him in 2015. There's no way. Because everybody wants to talk about the 2024 season. There was a lot of things he did in 25. And look, I think the biggest thing for me with him right now is how much they're connecting on passes over 25 yards and how they're pushing the ball vertically. He is not gun shy at all to get vertical quickly. And you better be careful if you're playing LSU, regardless of what you think their record's going to be, he's going to look for the big bomb, and that's where he's been his most accurate. I do think some of the intermediate stuff, for what it's worth, has been like, okay, we got to get better timing down on that because Lane is fixing and Charlie is fixing some of the alignment. They're getting fine-tuned there. But I don't see anything from Sam Leavitt. Is there anything else from the quarterback position that you've seen, that you've liked, or that you want to touch on here?
Well, I think first things first, you're right on the money when you talk about those deep balls. And that was something that Lane Kiffin and this coaching staff went to attack the portal for. Explosive plays, getting those deep threats. And it starts with Jackson Harris, and then you throw in Jace Brown as well. Now, these are guys that can go vertical and take the top off the defense. And like you said, Sam Leavitt is not gun shy. He is going to launch that ball down the field. So that's a major takeaway across days one and two, like you said right there. So I'll just echo that sentiment. And then when you look at that kind of QB2 battle right now, look, Hassan Longstreet's taking those backup reps right now at QB2. There's work to be done. It wasn't his best day today. There's timing issues for sure. But you're talking about a guy who's a redshirt freshman, hasn't played that much football at the collegiate level. It's a new system. There's a lot of work to be done there, but the potential is there for him for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about what he can do in the long. For me, I'm really intrigued about the long-term potential that he can have.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what he's able to do. You know, I got to be real with you. I think he's in between a rock and a hard place because he made some absolutely insane throws during the spring when he was rolling with the ones. Now you're asking him not to do that. Now you're asking him to go with a lot of the twos. You're asking him to go with guys that maybe he's not more familiar with, that maybe Landon Clark was throwing the ball to and Landon Clark has more familiarity with. I don't think that I think Hassan Longstreet, to your point, has a lot of massive upside. I just do wonder, Zach, if, you know, like how quickly, because look, he had a very interesting spring, right? Like he had a very interesting spring camp in reference to, like, he started off very slow. He then came on at a pretty high level and a pretty high rate. So it's going to be interesting to see. I wonder if we lost Nagy here. Nagy, can you hear us? All right, there we go.
There we go.
Basically, all I said was,
I can hear you.
Yeah. The thing with him, just to reiterate, he started off spring really slow and then picked it up to a high level. I do wonder how quickly he's going to – I just wonder if that's going to be the same thing. I haven't seen much of Landon Clark, though. Like, it's been a lot of Hassan Longstreet and Levitt. I haven't seen much of 11.
I haven't either. And I know that these guys are going to say something to echo. I'm not sure what keeps happening here, man. It just keeps happening.
I don't know.
Stand by.
Okay. Oh, we will continue to go on. What I would say from just to reiterate on some of the stuff in reference to Hassan Longstreet. Look, this is what I've personally seen. What I've just personally seen from him is that he started off slow. Okay, go ahead. Give us a test. 1, 2.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You back? No, I never heard an echo.
I don't hear it that much either, but I think we're good now.
Okay. Good now. All right. Well, I think hopefully we're good. Chat, let us know if we got an echo. Your thoughts, he started off slow, hadn't really seen Landon Clark. I guess there's been so many eyes on Sam, there's not a lot to go off on with some of these backup guys.
There's not. I mean, man, when you sit here and you look at Landon Clark, this is a guy who lit up, you know, his time at Elon. He's a super talented quarterback. But at the end of the day, he's taking limited reps because they're all going to Sam. They're trying to get him caught up to speed so quickly. Hassan Longstreet's taking those primarily QB2 reps. It's tough to look at Landon Clark here right now. I think he's going to push. He's going to try to get some reps under his belt. But the time that I saw him today, he missed on a slant route in the red zone. He connected with, I believe, Malik Elzey on a deep post route. It's just a lack of reps right now for him just because they're trying to get Sam Levitt caught up to speed so much.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's taking a lot of reps, is Sam Levitt. I really have liked what I've seen from him, Zach, just personally. All right, let's move along the offense because we got a lot of other positions. Let's knock this one out first because we have not really been able to see any of the offensive line. I'm curious, did you see anything there? Is it the same five that we saw the other day? I mean, look, they're kind of hiding the offensive line from us right now. They're not really showing us anything from them. But quickly on them, because I don't think that there's much. Did you see anything from the O-line today?
There's not, man. You're right. They're tucking them away in that back corner right now. For what we could see in a small little glimpse was left to right, same thing. Jordan Seaton, Bo Bordelon, Braylon Moore, and throwing a Leo Ba, and then, of course, Weston Davis. That was what we saw today. Look, we know that you're going to see Darren Stray and Bryson Martinez try to fight for some right tackle reps. Devin Harper and Bo Bordelon are going to fight things out at the left guard slot. But they're keeping it tucked away over there, man. They are not letting us see all that much when it comes to the O-line. Today was the same thing as yesterday, man. They did that again.
Any eyeballs on Solomon Thomas by chance?
Not for me, man. And, you know, you and I were talking about that again yesterday, just not really getting the chance to see him out there too much. this is a guy that we want to see get out there and make some big time plays. I personally didn't see him out there, but again, they were so far away tucked in the corner, I might have just missed it.
If there is something I think he's paranoid over, it's them. If there's something that Lane is paranoid over, it's going to be them. Look, I've been saying this ad nauseum, and I know Buddy Sanji took my statistic away from me and said it to Lane, but it is the truth. Lane has had, out of the last 6 years, led the SEC in rushing. Coming into it, I talked to multiple people in the media. 24/7 Sports has a big-time ecosystem in reference to people. And when Lane got hired and we came on with CBS, I just asked some questions. Hey, what are some things we should expect, we shouldn't expect? And the one thing that I think everybody, even people that I talked to at Bama when he was there, he's really protective over his run game. He's very protective over his offensive line. He doesn't want you knowing and seeing shit. Now, in the spring, that's one thing. In the fall, that's something completely different. I'm going to try to personally get eyeballs on him. I just want to see some reps, how they go. But on the offensive line, Zach, here might be the truth. We might not know anything until game one, snap one versus Clemson. It's a very strong chance we don't know anything. Unless a very strapping young man from Go 24/7 starts getting sources and starts asking questions, but that's neither here nor there. So the offensive,
he'll get there, bro.
What? No,
he'll get there.
I was talking about your ass, but but look, it's day two. Let's see how things start to progress here. They're not worried about the run game. What can you worry about with the run game? Speaking of the run game, I want to go to the running back position with you. Zach, in my dehydrated state last night, I was trying to articulate, I think that this is Dylan Jones's position room to lose. Like, I think this is his position to lose. You posted it again today. Here comes Dylan Jones. Man, he runs the ball hard, very hard. Is it his room to lose? Is it him and Harlan Berry and everybody else is fighting for third, in your opinion?
100%. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, Dylan Jones, for me right now, is RB1, and he fits the system like a glove. He's really good in pass pro during their little drills that they've been showing us, and that dates back to spring. You know, I think a lot of people want to sit back and say, well, you guys are only getting 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes worth of access these first 2 days. How many takeaways can you have? We're dating a lot of these things also back to last spring, too.
Where, well, y'all got 19 minutes and 37 seconds today, if no one's
Yeah, kidding. Like, it's just a little bit here. So, it's Dylan Jones' job to lose. He looks the part out there. Like you said, he's a really thick offensive weapon. He has a strong lower body. He looks great out there. But Harlan Berry's going to get his too, man.
I agree.
I think that they're going to have a really strong 1-2 punch. You can line up Berry in the slot. You can do so many different things with him as a pass catcher in the backfield. Harlan Berry's going to get his. This isn't the type of thing where Harlan Berry is regressing or any of these crazy headlines that people want to try to utilize. Berry's going to be great. Mm. He is one hell of a football player. And you can't teach the speed that he has and everything that comes with it. Dylan Jones right now is just fitting Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss's system really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's his job to lose moving forward. And Harlan Berry is going to really split some big-time reps with him.
I am just so intrigued to see how they use Harlan. Like, you know,
what would you do? Like, how would you utilize him?
I don't know. You know, I'd throw him the football. You know, that being for one. You know, there. I talked about Zach during the spring that, you know, the catch he had in the along the boundary where he shook at the time number 3 DJ Pickett instead of number 5 DJ Pickett, and he got vertical. And I just think that you, like, God forgive me, I'm not trying to go back to this, but why was Frank trying to run him in between the tackles? That's not his. Why aren't you throwing? You have Garrett that can't throw the ball 10 yards. That's what you kept telling me. Well, why aren't you putting playmakers out in space to make a move? Like, I don't understand that. This is a massive comparison that I'm going to give you, okay? But I talked to Lindell White a while back. Lindell's been on the show a lot. And so I like Lindell. He kind of gets mad at me. He gets happy with me. I don't know when Lindell ever really likes my big ass. But I asked him about the situation of how Lane likes to do these things. is basically it's just he gets a feel for, and Kevin Smith will get a feel for, hey, we need to pound the rock, or we need to get, you know, we need to get some speed out there. So, Zach, I don't think that there's really an answer. I think that they talked about more about flow with Lane and who they were playing versus, like, you know, Lindell would talk about, like, hey, there were games that, man, I might get 9 carries. There were games I got 27 carries. It just kind of depended on the system and team that you were playing. Like, I'll give an example. Ole Miss is a good team to talk about. They have a 6-7-man box, but an odd man front. You're probably going to want to try to pound the rock on them because you have the bodies in the formation lead. It can get there. Versus a Bama who likes to stack 4 defensive linemen down where you can get to the boundary on them. So I think it just really depends. I think they're going to throw them the football. But look, I think it's Dylan Jones's position room to lose. He just continues to make plays. You know, on day one, if you remember, I think it was Lane talking about, you know, picking up on Dylan, just telling him what he wants from him at the back position. He didn't really say anything to anybody besides him and Harlem. I do think Stacy Gage is going to make a move. He is. That's my hot take at that position. He breaks a lot of tackles and runs the ball very hard. We shall see. All right, the ultimate time here, probably one of the biggest competition position here. Let's get to wide receiver for a moment, Zach. I don't know. I mean, outside of Jackson Harris and Winnie Watkins, I think this thing's wide ass open, to be completely honest with you. I kick it over to you. Jackson Harris has looked incredible. Winnie Watkins has looked incredible. They've picked up where they've left off. And kind of a little bit more of an addition with Sam Levitt. What have you seen out of that wide receiver position through 2 days in fall camp?
Yeah, I think you're right on the money with that assessment of Winnie Watkins and then Jackson Harris. Those are your two guys that have really risen to the top. I'm not sleeping on Jace Brown. I think he can be utilized really, really well in a Lane Kiffin offense. He's super talented and productive already at the college game with Kansas State. So I think those three guys for me right now are at the top. You could throw in some Eugene Wilson action there. But after those four, that is where it's a toss-up for me. Does Phillip Wright emerge? Does Malik Elzey emerge? And how does Roman Mothershed get into the mix too? That's where I kind of sit back and wait.
You love Roman Mothershed. You love Roman Mothershed.
My agenda will not stop. I'm telling you right now, at some point this year, we'll come back to this clip. I'm telling you, Roman Mothershed will go up and maul somebody in the red zone at some point. Will it be against Louisiana Tech? Will it be against Alabama? We don't know, but we're going to hope it's against Alabama, and we hope that it's something like that. But, yeah, I think he's just too talented when you talk about the size that he has, when I'm talking about Mothershed. But to your point, Blake, absolutely. I think when you look at the receiving core right now, it's Winnie Watkins and Jackson Harris, 1A, 1B. Throw in some Jace Brown action, and then from there it's a true competition. Fall camp's going to tell a lot.
I think he's going to force feed Eugene Wilson until he has to not force feed him anymore. I mean, look, I think we have.
You think it's going to be just like layups to him over and over again for Eugene Wilson and just letting him turn it upfield?
Yeah, because of what he did against Georgia. I mean, you don't. I can count 3 people that have taken a slant 70 on Georgia in the last 5 years. Jamar Chase and Eugene Wilson are the only two guys that I remember vividly doing it for touchdowns. With that being said, I just think that we have not been able to see much of Eugene. Like, you know, last night, people think this shit's a game to us. But last night I talked about, look, after practice I started making some phone calls, you know, on the way home. I was like, hey, what happened when we left? And I talked about the big play from Eugene Wilson from a throw from Hassan Longstreet. And then, I mean, Zach, I can't make this up. They're posting it on social media. Yeah. Okay. And so I think that there is a battle. Okay. The battle right now for me is Eugene and Jace at one of the boundary positions. Because quite honestly, Jackson Harris has gone off. Winnie Watkins has gone off. That's over. Like, you can put that stamp down, barring injury, barring outright chaos happening. I think that third position comes into play. And I think that third position is in play. I think early in the season, they're going to rotate the hell out of the both of them and say, let the mess man win. If you can't do it in fall camp, figure it out during the season, and we go from there. But here's my thing. Lane said three times during the spring that Eugene Wilson was the best wide receiver that they had. Okay, well then go show me. Because I don't think Lane likes being wrong. So with that being said, I do agree with you. I think that they are going to try to utilize Jace Brown's speed and explosiveness in a lot of different ways, along with Eugene. I do think Trey Dez for the wide receiver position, we'll get to Trey Dez next.
There we go. Yeah.
I do think Trey Dez at the wide receiver position limits them because he's going to be in that slot role a lot. I don't think he'll be a lot of inline. I think we have a big conversation on our hands with tight end at the current moment that no one's really talking about with Malachi Thomas. I think that might hurt them a little. But I do think that there is a battle roaming. And one thing that we saw from Lane at the end of the year, last year, and what we saw from Charlie, they will throw a wide receiver out there that hasn't played three snaps and to your Roman mothershed. If the personnel dictates it, they'll go to it. They are deep. They are very deep at wide receiver. I don't know how they're going to get all those guys on the field. I don't think they will. But I do think that there is a probably three-player race for that other boundary spot. My question would be, is Jace going to start moving into the slot and them start putting him in the boundary, put him in the slot in certain situations? I don't know, because who's the guy behind Winnie Watkins in the slot?
Exactly.
You know, like that's a question. I don't know. And I think formations will dictate it. I do think we have a massive battle there.
I feel like that's a good problem to have when you
it's
talk
a
about
great problem
talent there. For me, Winnie Watkins has just emerged so aggressively this offseason to where I'm putting him in the slot and letting him do whatever the hell he wants there because he is just that talented.
He
for
is.
Eugene Wilson, that's where I just get confused. What do you do with him? I mean, for me, like you said, Lane continues to talk about him time and time again. Do you think he can flourish on the boundary? That's almost more of a question, honestly, that I would have for you while we're here right now. Like, do you think you can maximize Eugene Wilson's potential by putting him on the boundary?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Maximize his potential? No. Do I think that you can get a lot of potential out of him? Yes. Do I think Billy messed him up and not moving him around? Like, let me give an example. Can Justin Jefferson play the boundary?
It's well said.
Okay. Where did he line up the most? He was in the slot a lot with Joe Brady, but they would move him. And I think for a guy like Jace Brown who doesn't have the Jackson Harris physicality, you got to move him. You got to move him to get him out of those situations, Zach. So I would just say that maximizing his potential there, probably not. Uh-oh. Zach, you still with us? Oh, no. Probably not. I don't really know. So we will see. I think Zach faded out on us here for just a second. So we'll wait for Zach to return. Getting to some of the other positions here. The other position I would talk about today, I do think that you and I need to have an honest conversation about what's going on at reference to tight end. Look, everybody is talking about Tre'Davious Green. Everybody has had conversations about Tre'Davious Green. All right, there we go. Let's make sure. Do we got an echo over here?
Any echo?
Yep. Again, I still don't hear any.
Tell you what, man, it's my Wi-Fi today.
It's yeah, crazy. Well, it's
I'll come
the
back.
Weather's not really bad. Let us know in the chat if there's an echo. Let us know inside the chat if there is an echo. No, it's just Wi-Fi, man. He's echo AF. See, I don't hear it. I don't really hear it. Okay, let's see now.
I think we're good now.
You think we're good inside the chat? Okay, let us know inside the chat.
Crazy, if you do. Bro.
All right, I think we have an interesting conversation. We won't be too long on the defense, and I'll get you out of here too. Thoughts on the tight end room, tight end position?
Yeah, I think like you said, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. When you sit there and talk about Trey Dez and then Malachi Thomas, this is one that not enough people are talking about, and it's early, you know, in camp for good reason. But for me, man, I think it's going to be really fun to watch those two guys be utilized in 12 personnel sets. He can block super well. When you talk about Malachi, it's primarily what they operated with today. when you look at obviously what these guys are doing during practice. But the tight end room, man, you're set. I think you're set. You know what you're going to get from Tre'Davious Green. You know what you're going to get from Malachi as a blocker. That's going to be a really fun kind of watch thing to watch this upcoming year.
I just don't think they're putting him on the end line of scrimmage, meaning Tre'Davious. And I look, the again, I will remind people, Zach, I think the biggest thing coming out of SEC Media Days was missed. The thing that was missed from SEC Media Days was that I was making sure we didn't have an echo. Nick Saban was sitting at the broadcast booth with Lane, and he asked Lane, Tre'Davious Green. He said, Coach, remember what we did with O.J. Howard? So I wondered what he meant by that. They put O.J. at the end line of scrimmage some. They also put him in the slot a lot in bunch sets. They would also bring in other tight ends for inline blocking. So Nick just kind of gave the whole Drewski like shoulder shrug, like, okay. I think we need to focus a little bit. I say we, like not us. I'm just saying we as a whole need to focus in on Malachi Thomas. I will remind people he did catch a post and went 30 for a touchdown, so I guess we'll see. Zach Nagy, go 24/7. I need to show this, Zach, because, look, man, we're killing it. A lot of people subscribing over at Go 24/7. Go use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. When you do, you'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Use that promo code AYS60 to get stuff from Zach Nagy. Zach, I know that you already have a lot of stuff out there. I think you got some stuff today, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so Zach's got a recap of today. You can go over to Go24/7. Use that promo code AYS60 at checkout. You'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Defense. Richard Anderson's going to start getting a lot of buzz here, Zach. Let me tell you what we did today. I know you've been busy. I did some YouTube members-only content this morning focusing on the defensive line. Some things that I heard last night going into this morning that they were going to start rotating and Richard Anderson would get a lot of run with the ones. LSU defense today, what did you see?
Richard Anderson, that guy. I mean, like you said, popping in with the ones, Deuce Gerald's, them two, the 1-2 punch there, your true freshman. Yeah, I mean, this is something that you and I have talked about a little bit, but today was where you started to see those flashes being made. Is he going to have to fight off Malik Blockton? Is he going to have to fight off Steph Green? Yes, he's going to. There's a lot of depth there at that position to a certain degree. Are there guys that are bursting with talent, All-American type right now? Probably not. There's a lot of depth there that you can work with. Like Blake said, Deuce Gerald is going to be an absolute dude. Richard Anderson took first-team reps today. It was a really, really solid, solid day for them. And small sample size, of course, but you love to see them get out there and get their work. Speaking of true freshmen, Lamar Brown, that's a guy who we're just waiting to see what happens. Blake and I are on the same page where we anticipate him taking a lot of solid reps on the interior D-line. I'm right there with you. You're going to have a point this year, man, where you'll likely have three true freshmen on the field at one time. I cannot wait to see that actually transpire.
All right. One of two things is going to happen here, okay? Either number one, you're going to have a situation on your hands like Miami did, where Miami is reloaded. Their defensive line this year is absolutely disgusting. Lightfoot returns. Lightfoot gave Trinidad Chambliss all kinds of issues in that semifinal game. I know they went and got Damian Wilson, but both of their interior defensive tackles returned. They got 2 5-stars that are sitting behind them. They rode their offensive line and defensive line to a national title. You saw the same thing with Georgia. You've seen the same thing with Ohio State. You've seen the same thing with a lot of teams. What worries me and why I say either one of two things are going to happen, when you have to start that many true freshmen, you have a problem, okay? Because experience does matter. if there's some upperclassmen that can overcome. Like, I don't see you playing two interior defensive linemen that are undersized. I don't see Deuce Gerald and Malik Blockton starting next to one another. I just don't know if I see it yet. With that being said, you do have a lot of talent along your defensive line, and maybe Richard Anderson can be ready before the season. Maybe they say, hit this gap and run and give him some specific things to do, and maybe he is able to overcome it and do that. I don't know. But Lamar Brown, Deuce Gerald's, and Richard Anderson, Zach, it's got to be the outside of Sam Levitt. I don't think there's another talking point than the interior defensive line. I just don't think there is one, because I don't know if any of these upperclassmen have shown right now through spring and through 2 days that they've made a move. And Zach, they're going to have to make a move for LSU to do some of the things that they want to do here.
Would you have a level of concern if you started two true freshmen, being Deuce Gerald and Richard Anderson?
Remember when the CDC came out and said, don't eat lettuce because you might get explosive diarrhea? That's how nervous I'd be. Yes.
You think, like, when you look, I guess you're right. This year would be a tough year for them. In the future, they'd be absolutely loaded there. But yeah, I'm right there with you.
Look, Ole Miss has three interior offensive linemen returning, Texas A&M has two. Mississippi State's got all three of theirs returning. I don't really care about them. Tennessee's got all of theirs. Texas has went in the portal and attacked along the offensive line. Bama's got two returning. I think their offensive line sucks. So I don't know. But McKinley, like, what have we seen from Dom? Like, that's the thing that we need. I mean, brother, you a former five-star. We got to get this thing rolling. What have we seen from Steph Green? Like, those guys got to get moving. I mean, they're giving these true freshmen a lot of – brother, Deuce Gerald's at 6 foot, 185, 90 pounds, came in here and started day one, snap one, play one. That's what they think of you right now. So who's going to step up, Zach? That's my thing. Like, I would be worried if two true freshmen started, yes, because it would mean that Don McKinley is not what we think Don McKinley is. Steph Green and Malik Blockton aren't who we think that they are. But it would also say that maybe Richard Anderson also is him. And Deuce Gerald,
it's like
is
the him. Devil and angel thing, right? Like, yeah. On one side, I'm going to sit back and be like, Richard Anderson's like that. He took a huge jump this offseason, transformed his body, got ready to roll. And then on the other side, it's like, well, man, like, that's a lot of inexperience when you're going up against the Clemsons of the world, the Ole Miss of the world, et cetera. So I'm right there with you. Today, again, small sample size, but to see two true freshmen next to each other was such, like, I don't even want to use the word nostalgia, but it just gave so many flashes to, like, Will Campbell and Emory Jones. When we were looking at them in Tiger Stadium starting as true freshmen on the outside. So I'm really intrigued about what they can do, man. I love Richard Anderson. I think he's a dude. You and I have talked about Deuce Gerald ad nauseum. I don't even want to exhaust your audience by diving into it even more. Right. But I think that when you look at that 1-2 punch for the future, they've got that. And then factor in Lamar Brown, who's going to continue to be kind of a Swiss Army knife on the D-line. Yeah, man, you're set. Like, you have a really talented future. It's just about right now, week one, mm-hmm. where I kind of sit back and have a little bit of concern there.
Will Campbell was on a podcast, and he said, when I was a true freshman, I went up against Jared Verse. Jared Verse was the NFL Rookie of the Year. And he said, brother, I got folded like a lawn chair. I got folded up like a lawn chair. It's those things that can get you beat or not beat. So I guess we'll see. All right, anything other defensively? I know there's been a lot of talk about CB3, CB4. The linebacking core looks amazing to me. I still don't think anybody behind them besides – and I put Keys in there too with the starters. You know, like, I'm not including him. Don't know if I've seen anybody below them kind of take a step. Has there been anything from you outside on other parts of the defense that you've liked?
It's going to be the safety room. What happens in the safety room? We know Ty Benefield is an absolute dude. He's been the talk of the offseason. You and I have talked about him at length. You know what you're going to get from Deshaun Spears. He's a breakout candidate this year at the star role. I think he's going to flourish closer to the line of scrimmage, man. Mm-hmm. I really believe in Deshaun Spears and what he can do there. But then here we go. You know, you look at days one and day two. We saw Jace Thomas take those first team reps with the safety slot alongside Ty Benefield. Will it stick? Blake and I talked yesterday a little bit about this, where eventually to Marcus Cooley, he's going to have to make a run here and try to give himself the chance to flourish. But right now it's Jace Thomas. And again, day two, back-to-back days, he took first team reps. So is it noteworthy to me? A little bit. You know, we're only there for a small sample size of practice, but the opportunity to get to see him with the ones is super interesting to me, especially after you and I have heard all offseason that he was really having a strong summer. Mm-hmm. Parlay that into fall camp. It's something that we're going to be watching really closely in August just to see what happens in that safety
room. I think Jace Thomas is being rewarded for working his ass off.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. I think he's being rewarded. I think they're making an example. And look, I need to see more before I say, hey, all right. Here's the thing with me at safety, okay? If one of them go down, Deshaun Spears can go back. I mean,
precisely.
Move back. I wonder what they do at Star. I don't know. I mean, that's a whole different conversation for a different day. I do love what I'm seeing from the safety room. I think Ty Benefield, I don't know what people want me to say about him. He's got a high football IQ. He's got a high football mind. He is an insanely talented human being. And I mean, we're going to continue to talk about him making plays, and everybody needs to keep their eyes on him. So we'll see. All right, Zach, we've had you here long enough. You've been working your absolute ass off through 2 days. I won't bring you back on Saturday. I promise.
I'll make sure my Wi-Fi is fixed next time I hop on here. Are you kidding me, man? I want to tell your audience this. Go247 content is better than this connection that I have here, man.
Yes, it is.
I'll tell you that. So, yes, look, I know the connection was a little wonky today. AT&T will be getting a call from me. And we'll shake back and have it plugged in for next time. But
I had to go get a backup in Starlink. We got Starlink here just as a backup now. It's not the greatest, but at least it's a backup. Last question I would ask you, is there anything else that I didn't ask you that's been roaming around in your mind?
I mean, look, we hit on the quarterback room. We love what Sam Levin, Hassan Longstreet can present as they continue to grow as players. Running back room, nailed it. Receiving room, got it. Malachi Thomas, got it. You know, O-line is something that we're going to have to continue to watch during fall camp to see them progress. Defensively for me, my question really to you is something that we didn't hit on. I'll ask you, where do you go at the kind of edge role right now? You know, you got Prince Omemielan as your go-to guy who I think will have double-digit sacks. Jordan Ross, you know, our colleague, Andre is what we'll call him. He's loving Jordan Ross. He's giving Jordan Ross his flowers. But what happens beyond those two guys? You know, you have Lamar Brown. Do you shift him inside a lot more than he's on the outside beyond Lamar Brown? Do you think Dylan Carpenter can compete in the SEC? Is that a position room that you might have a little bit of questions for there? That's the one that we didn't really hit on that much.
I don't know if I believe that he can compete in the SEC. I'd love to see it. I want him to. He's a Louisiana kid. I hope that he can. I am very interested to see. So – Who came from South Carolina with Lucas? It was Brown. What's his name?
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown. I am interested to see him get some run post-injury because the thing with Starling Lucas that has been interesting, dudes have come out of nowhere at edge and had double-digit sacks for him that no one expected to have. So
I was hoping you'd have.
I am interested. Here's my thing. They went out in recruiting and spent a shitload of money at edge, more than anybody else in the country spent on edge. It's not an opinion. It is a blatant fact. From a high school perspective, they spent more money than anybody because they went and got two of the top three at edge. I think they know it's a concern. I think they feel it's a concern. I don't think Gabe Rutherford's back before the end of September. I know he's running. I know that people, you know, like, so Kalaj Cobbins, Dylan Carpenter, Damian Shanklin, those guys are going to have to step up. But again, think about this. This is where you're at along the defensive line at the current moment. Lamar Brown didn't take a snap, and you got your spot snatched. So he's a 295-pound defensive end. I'm not – edge is one of those positions along with corner. The frontline talent is pretty freaking good. The depth, I don't know. And when BK got fired, you know, you can't – here's the problem. when you have a massive change like LSU just had, there's going to be position groups that are going to take hits. They had to go get an entire offense with an offensive head coach. They spent a shitload of money on defense. Ty Benefit, Prince Will, God bless it. Who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting people. I mean, even Deuce Gerald, Richard Anderson, Lamar Brown from a freshman perspective, TJ Dottery. They've spent money, but you're going to have depth issues. So I don't know what to think of Edge. I don't. Like, for example, remember when Jordan Ross got hurt during the spring? He kind of got his neck kind of twisted, but he came back. They're throwing Dylan Carpenter. They're throwing Damian Shanklin. They're throwing Kalaj Cobbins. They're throwing all the shit up on the wall to see what sticks. I don't think they know.
That's why I ask, because, man, when you get to SEC play and you got that gauntlet of a schedule moving up forward early. God forbid, you don't want to put it in the universe or anything, but your starters, we'll say anything happens to your starters, you're going to roll with, I'm not going to say names to be that guy, but, you know, there's some depth concerns there for me, man. I don't want to be that guy and say it, but there's depth concerns galore when I look at that room. And for me, it's what do you do with Lamar? Does he take his primary reps there at the edge? I just don't know what you do when you look at the edge if something happens with your go-to guys.
I don't either. All right. Zach, I've kept you here long enough. So, glad you're here. Glad you're live when we say this. There is so much stuff going on over at Go247. Our good friend Kevin Ryan told me that we're coming up on the 100 of all of you coming in on the AYS membership. So, you need to go over there. AYS60. Zach has the Nagy's notes are absolutely exploding over here. We'll all be back out there on Saturday. So the Go247 team, Zach, thank you so much for being here and telling us all that you've seen here today.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Like Blake said, we got some really good stuff going on the Go247 page right now. Use this code, 60% off, and a lot more coming. It's only 2 days of fall camp. We got a lot of content out there. Next time I pop on here, I promise my connection will be a little bit better. But no doubt, we got a lot of good notes coming for you guys. Subscribe. It's a great time. And like we said, the Lane Kiffin era is here. I'll be back soon, and we'll have a lot of good content rolling on that site, man. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Zach. We'll talk soon, buddy. All right, that's Zach Nagy over at Go247. I appreciate him joining us here. He's amazing, man. Zach is absolutely fantastic. All right, fire in your questions. We'll get in some questions here before we head out. Brandon with a $5 super chat says, who else is excited about Drew Brees in the Hall of Fame? Me. You know, he deserves it, man. I got to say it now. I never said this when he played for the Panthers. I love Luke Kuechly. I love Larry Fitzgerald. It's a great, great Hall of Fame class. Carson Beck and Haynes King were dealing, bro. They were dealing today. Good for Carson Beck. Forever LSU with a $5 super chat says, we need to know the area code for Tyler Alexander, 225. 955-0008. Shoot me straight, Tyler, and give us the code. 225. He up in the 225, brother. Always up in the 225. I got to send this to Tyler now. I got to send this super chat to Tyler. Tyler's phone number is, and it's his number, man. It is his number. He ain't hiding from nobody. I mean, Tyler Alexander's phone number, our good realtor over at AYS, his phone number is the Louisiana version of Mike Jones. Who, Mike Jones? Mike Jones. Landon with a $5 super chat says, yo, Blake, I go on my bachelor trip coming up in a month. I got to rep some AYS gear while in MS. Where do I get it? You can go over to Shopify, type in AYS Sports. That's where you can get it. Maybe I'm going to send you something. We just sent out a whole bunch of stuff the last couple of days. Alex, but yes, go over to Shopify, AYS Sports. Alex says, Cooley should be safe. I think he is safe. I do think that they are. I think there's a lot of really quality depth at safety, to be honest with you. And I think Jace, they're rewarding him for a massive summer. Something that got missed and probably what Zach said here, Chase Thomas had a huge summer. So a lot of people high on Chase Thomas. You know, Chase Thomas committed on AYS. How about that? DJ says, is Cooley losing a spot? I'm not ready to go there yet. Not even remotely close. Cotto 225 says, I think these freshmen pushing these vets is a good problem to have. It's a very good problem to have. It is a very, very good problem to have. I talked about this on the members content today on YouTube. I've talked about it on Go 24/7. Either one of two things are going to happen here, guys. Either the really good thing that we want to have happen happens. Don McKinley emerges, Malik Blockton, and you got three talented true freshmen that you can throw in there and give you 10 to 15 reps and do it at a high level. That's what you want to have happen, and I hope that's what we have happen. All right, a couple more before we get out of here. Brandon says, man, I just wish the Saints had better defenses while Drew was there. No doubt. Absolutely no doubt. 723 listening, only 177 likes. Maybe it's too hard to press like. Yeah, why ain't y'all hitting the like button? I don't even know how many people have hit the like button. We got 700 of you on YouTube. We need 700 likes, man. We need 700. All right, last one, I lied. Ravel says, does Durham still have an opportunity in this offense? Absolutely. And I see DJ says the same thing. Absolutely. At 100%. You know, I know that I'm probably not his favorite person when I say Dylan Jones, it's his room to lose. Guys, it is his room to lose. Dylan Jones came here in here and won the room. I've said this before. Don't take my word for it. Take Lane's word for it. He said those exact words, damn near. So, can he? Yes, he's got to find better vision. Bottom line. I mean, he's got to find better vision. But right now, it's going to be Dylan Jones and it's going to be Harlan Berry until he makes an ultimate move. All right, we'll see y'all on Saturday. So here's the plan. On Saturday, we will go live. I will give you a time. I don't know the time right now. We will go to practice on Saturday. I will be in attendance for practice on Saturday. At some point on Saturday, we will be live. We will be talking about practice day 3. It's going to be very fun. We'll see you all there. Y'all have a good night. Hydrated Blake is back. See y'all soon. Peace.